Just want to thank everybody for joining us for No Regrets. You know, I hope and pray that it's just going to be an amazing conference for you guys, life-changing. Secondly, I want to thank you for joining us for this breakout session, where we're going to be talking about prioritizing our faith and making time for Jesus. I want you to go ahead and join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and God, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for just how amazing and wonderful you are. God, we thank you for your great grace, Lord. God, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for all the men that are here in this conference. God, we pray that, Lord, your spirit just pours out. God, that hearts are changed. God, lives are changed. Lord, that those of us, Lord, who know you, just get rejuvenated, re-energized, Lord, charged up, Lord, to live for you. God, those who do not know you, Lord, that they find you. God, that they see you, Lord, that they come to know you, Lord, and your saving grace. God, I pray for all of us here, Lord, that, God, you take the words, Lord, that you've laid on my heart, God, and you communicate them in a way, Lord, through me to this group, God, in a way that you desire, Lord, that they might, again, just be encouraged, Lord, God, to dedicate themselves to you, Lord, regardless of how crazy and how chaotic life can be. Lord, and we pray this in your most precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to be talking about prioritizing our faith. And, you know, in the introduction, I just want to talk just a little bit about how the topic came to be. So some of you know me, not all of you know me. Name's Josh. I lead a few groups here at Fox River, doing a home church. Married, got 7 kids. We brought in my niece and nephew, so my wife says 9. Recently, a business friend of mine asked me to come alongside him and help him with his businesses. He asked me to start a business, so I started a business for his wife. Got that up off the ground. We needed some more equity, so I went out from that and back into the commercial world, got a job. Still doing all those other businesses, still have all the 7 kids. So I'm a busy guy, right? And when Pastor Rod asked me to share at No Regrets, I opened it up to the men's group that I lead here, and I asked the guys, and I said, hey, what do you want to hear? What would you like me to talk about? And one of the guys turned to me, and he looked at me, and he's like, you know what? Making time for Jesus. You're busy. How do you do it? And so I was like, okay. I can definitely talk about that. It's going to be a lot of applications. It's going to be a lot of real life. So we're going to get real this morning with each other. But in all honesty, if I ask the question to all of you, how many of us feel we have a great relationship with God? A great relationship. Okay, love the honesty, right? I love the honesty. Now, what would you say if I threw this up here and said, you know what? You make time for what you want in life.
How many times do we say that to people?
Yeah. You make time for what you want in life. So if today was the Super Bowl and the Packers were in there, how many of us would make sure that we were watching it? All right, let's be honest. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us would schedule out our time to make sure that it fit, that we would carve out time throughout our day for that. Now, you might not be a football fan. What about basketball? Throw in your favorite team, right? Throw in whatever sport. You might not be a sports person, but you get the idea, right? Insert something that you really, truly desire. You're going to make time for that throughout the day. So you make time for what you want. Matthew 22:37, I'm going to read that for you. Matthew 22, saved the wrong spot, going to have to fix that for next time. 22:37, Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So Jesus was asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Out of all God's commandments, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all that you are, with your entire being, love God. And that's the greatest commandment. Okay, now remember, in the context, you make time for what you want. Love God with all that you are. Next one, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Jesus, he's given a sermon on the mount, and he's talking to his disciples, but he's up high, and there's this huge crowd that's listening in. Happened a lot during the life of Jesus. And Jesus is talking about all of this stuff that's going on. You have all these people who are running around doing all these different things. And Jesus says, you know what? Forget all that. Store up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy. How many of us work? Yeah. How many of us work so that we can have better things? Okay, a lot of us. So again, we're prioritizing, we're making time for what we want. And the reason why I'm hitting on all of these things is to get us all on the same page that, guys, listen, we're already doing this. And our actions are reflecting what we really want in life. Now, God desires to be the most important thing in our life, to be the most important relationship that we have. So that's what God desires for us. Our actions are showing what we desire. This isn't about condemnation. So I don't want any of you here to leave this morning beating yourself up like, wow, I really suck. That's not why we're going through this. That's not why we're here today. That's not what this breakout session is about, right? But what I am doing is I'm stripping away some of that argument. I'm stripping away some of the conversations or the justifications that you would be running through in your head when we start talking about what a good relationship with God looks like and how we get it and how easy it really is to achieve. Because you could say, oh, I don't have time. I can't do that, Josh. You want me to set aside time? I can't do that. I'm so busy. Yeah. You're busy for you. You're busy for the things you care about. So let's refocus that, right? So let's talk about what a good relationship with God really looks like. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All right, this is why I always go over. I can't help it. The teacher in me is screaming. It's really interesting. When you get into the Hebrew in this verse, the Hebrew word for Lord Adonai, singular, right? The Hebrew word for God there, Elohim, is plural. And then the Lord, Adonai, singular. So the Lord, singular, our God, plural, the Lord, singular, is one. So you want to talk about seeing the Trinity. There you go, right there in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, some of you might be thinking, Josh, that sounds like a crazy person, right? You want me walking around with, like, stuff written on my face and posting things all over my yard? Like, I'm gonna be that guy. Like, you got to be kidding me. So what's God saying here? God's basically saying, hey, what a good relationship with me looks like is we love God with all that we are. We keep his word in our heart. We teach him to our children and our family. His words are the first things on our mind throughout the day. Everyone who sees and knows us should know about our relationship with God. If we do those things, it's going to become our identity over time. And so as we're going throughout life, people look at us and they're like, oh, that's Josh. Yeah, he loves Jesus. It's synonymous with. It's not, oh, that's Josh. He's that guy who owns those businesses. Or, oh, that's Josh. He's the guy who really loves the Packers. Man, that guy's crazy. Or, oh, that's Josh. Man, he's got way too many kids. Right? What is connected with your name should be the fact that you love Jesus. Should be the fact that you love God, right? So it becomes your identity. It is what people associate with you. All right, let me give you another one. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Some of you might be saying, Josh, wait a second, that's the Great Commission. What are you doing? Check this out. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Right? So this is a commission given to the disciples. You can see Jesus said, teach those to others. So that's the same commission given to us that we're to go and to make disciples. Greek word there for go, I can't twirl my R, porero, it's as you are going. We're to be intentional throughout life too. It is as you are living, and it should be the same with our relationship with God. So think about this, right? Kurt got up and talked about how on Sunday morning, we go to church, and then the rest of the day, or the rest of the week, lived for himself before, right? It shouldn't even be about sectioning off a certain day. It shouldn't be about sectioning off a certain period of time. It's as you are living, you and God are walking together step by step. So when do you pray? Well, it's not I pray at 8 o'clock in the morning, or I pray at church, or I pray at, you know, fill in the blank. It's as you are living, you do these things, okay? So as you are going, as you are living your life, you and God together, that's what a good relationship looks like. All right, we got one more example. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, if you guys remember this verse, if anybody ever says, hey, I want to know what the will of God is for my life, you can bring them right here. It's to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God for your life, right there. It's for all of us. The idea here is that these things should be automatic and seamless for us. It's not every single thing out of your mouth should be a prayer to God. That's not what pray without ceasing is. It's not the rejoice always, you know, you're running late and you get stopped at that red light that takes forever, and you're going to be like, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. Don't lie to God. Right? You're ticked off. This sucks. It's, okay. Thank you, God, for this moment of opportunity for me to reflect and to know that my heart's in a bad spot. And then you and God have an opportunity to talk about what's going on for those emotions, right? So the rejoice always isn't be fake with God. It's take that opportunity to understand God's in control. He knows what he's doing, right? You and him now have a conversation about how you feel. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It should be seamless and automatic. So what does a good relationship look like? It's our identity, it's as we are living, and it should be seamless and automatic. That's what a good relationship with God looks like. It's who you are, it's your identity. It's as you're living. You're not having to kind of take yourself out of life to go spend time with God. It's as you are going throughout the day. It's just seamless. Seamless and automatic. We love God equals we spend time with him throughout the day, every day. So the fact that we love God means that we spend time with him throughout the day, and we do it every day. So how do we get there with a busy life? How do we get that relationship with a busy life? And that's really what we're gathered here this morning to kind of talk about, right? It's like, okay, we kind of set the stage. We understand we're all on the same level, right? Now, how do we get there? Well, let's be honest. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. All relationships, every single one, take time. Can you say that you have a relationship with somebody if you never spend time with them? No. You can't. You don't have a relationship with them. All relationships take effort. It takes effort to take the time. It takes effort for engagement. Whoops, got ahead of myself. It takes effort for engagement. It takes effort for us to have that relationship, and then it takes engagement. Time, effort, and engagement. You have to engage in that relationship. So how many, obviously we got some young guys in here, but how many of us older guys have kids? Okay? Do relationships take time? Yeah. Do you have to spend time with your kids to really know your kids? Yes. Otherwise, if you don't, all of a sudden you're walking into the room and they're walking by and you're like, wait, what happened? Who is that? It takes effort. How easy is it to engage with teenage children? Does it take effort to have that conversation, Dad? Yeah, it does. Not knocking any of you teenage guys, right? But sometimes you speak a totally different language. And so, especially, well, there aren't any teenage girls here, but my teenage daughters too. I'll sit down and have a conversation and they're talking and I'm like, I have no idea what words just came out of your mouth. Let's step back. Let's talk for understanding, right? But it takes effort. I have to seek them out to get that time because they're busy too. Their schedules don't always fit my schedule. All right, for you younger guys, how many of you are involved in sports at school? Okay. Does it take time? How many hours are you pouring in each week? Well, now all of a sudden it's like, wait, well, you know what, son? I'm busy, so you need to skip your schedule to spend time with me. How well would that go over? Not well, right? Exactly. So it takes time, it takes effort. And then when you finally get that time and you've taken that effort, if we just sit down and we're both flipping through on our screens, how good is that conversation? How good is that relationship? I'm not really having a conversation in a relationship with you. I'm having one with my phone. You just happen to be present. Right? So it takes time, it takes effort, it takes engagement. If a relationship is neglected, it's only natural that the two sides drift apart. They're no longer as close as they once were. Now, this is true in all relationships. Okay? It's true in marriage. It's true in families. It's true with friends. How many of us older had really great friends in high school, and we have no idea where those people are even at now? Yeah. Man, we were so close. We did everything together. I can't even tell you what city they're in. Right? We're definitely not as close as we once were. The same thing happens in our relationship with God. Not position, right? Two different things here. Not position. Our position with God is secure in Christ. Our relationship with God, our day-to-day as we're walking together, man, we can drift away. God's not going anywhere. He's ready and willing. The problem is us. We drift away. We don't take the time, the effort, or the engagement. It's like, okay, God, I'm going to spend some quiet time with you. I'm going to read the Bible on my phone. Open up the phone. All of a sudden, you get the notification from Facebook. You click it. Again, time, effort, and engagement. We need to seize every opportunity. Right now, you have as deep or as intimate a relationship with God as you currently want. That's the true statement. God desires deep, intimate relationship with you. If you don't have that, the issue isn't God. The issue is us. So let's give an example. Dating. For those of us who are married, when you were dating your spouse, what would you do to spend more time with her? Yeah, you plan stuff. How many people went either with little sleep or without sleep at least once? Yeah. How many had to drive to a different city? Yeah, yeah. Now, again, I'm not going to ask for examples because this might get a little wild. But serious, we would do some of the craziest, stupidest things. We would in no way think about doing those things now. But when we were dating, man, we thought it was great. And the next day, say we got an hour of sleep. The next day, when we were at work or when we were at school, we weren't tired at all. We had that like stupid grin on our face thinking that that was an amazing time. I can't wait to do it again. And we would do that for just somebody we're dating. But yet, how much time are we giving God? What are we willing to do to get more time with God? What about your first child? Yeah, I mean, think about it. Now, for some of us dads, we're like, you know what? I'm not touching that diaper for nothing. The kid's screaming, Mom, here you go. But you were thinking about that kid. And when your first child was sick, man, nothing else mattered. You were hyper-focused on, is the kid okay? Do we need to take him to the doctor? What do we need to do, right? We're like panicking, and the kid probably is just getting a tooth or something like that, right? It's like something so small. My rule of thumb for any new parents, don't overreact, right? Number one rule, don't overreact. Because first-time parents, man, they overreact. Pendulum just swings. But we did some crazy things for that first kid. This one, not as funny, not as sad, but maybe a loved one passing away. You know, they're in the hospital. How many times do you make it over there? How often are you thinking about them? How often are they at the forefront of your mind? So again, for things that we care about, man, we're seizing those opportunities. So the question is, in a busy life, we need to make sure that we're seizing those opportunities for God. So I just wanted to share this because right now we're all at least at that top line, right? It's an intention. We all have this intention that we desire to have a more intimate relationship with God. We all desire to be spending more time with God, to prioritize our faith. It's an intention. When we make it an intention and we begin to seize those opportunities and we're intentional about it, it then becomes a behavior. It's something that we're practicing, that we're going out and we're putting forth effort into. After a while, it becomes a habit. It's just something that we fit into the day-to-day, okay? We're habitually doing these things. After a while, it becomes a practice. You know what? I'm not having to work as hard at getting that done. Now it's beginning to become part of that practice. I'm starting to get a feel for it. Then it becomes, man, second nature. You're surprised if you don't. It's like, man, it's just old hat. Like, I wake up in the morning, I read my Bible. It's what I do. Then it becomes who you are. And people begin to associate you with your relationship with God. So it all begins for all of us in the same spot. So if you don't have the relationship where you want it now, if your faith isn't prioritized to where you want it to be, it's all right. We're all starting in the same spot. Okay? We all start in the same spot. Becomes second nature. So let's get to some application. What can I do today? What can I do each day to prioritize my faith? So let's talk about the morning. 5 to 15 minutes after you wake up. You can put a memory verse on the bathroom mirror. Please note, I am not saying use a Sharpie, right? I don't want anyone's wives to come beating me up, be like, you know, this crazy guy, Josh, he said to write it on the mirror, so I took the marker and there you go. All right, memory verse, bathroom mirror, 3.5-inch little note card. You can take a dry erase marker, put it in the bathroom mirror. You can also get the family to participate, right? It can become a family thing. If you got younger kids, great time to start memorizing some verses. You wake up, you read it again, you come out, you start getting the kids ready, they're eating breakfast. Hey, what's the memory verse this week? Right? You can get engagement there. Some of you older kids are like, man, I'm glad my dad's not here. It's okay. Memory verses are good. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How does a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word, O Lord. Memory verse. What else can we do? We can read a chapter of the Bible while drinking our morning coffee or going through our morning routine. Love my wife. This is being recorded, but she probably won't listen to it, so I'm safe. She'll get her morning coffee. She will sit down and she will flip through Facebook while she is drinking that morning coffee. That is her routine. Sunday through Saturday, she does it every day, at least 10 minutes. Tell me you can't get 5 minutes there? Put the phone down for a second. Read one chapter, and you're right there. Did you know that if you read one chapter of the New Testament, one chapter each day, you will read through the entire New Testament in 1 year? How many of us have read every book in the New Testament? Only got a few hands. You can start today. Or if you want to make it in the morning, you can start tomorrow. How about praying before you leave the house? Before you leave the house, before you walk out the door, take time to pray. Pray for the day. Pray for the kids. Pray for the commute. But we can pray before we leave the house. All right, how about during the workday? I had to throw this statement in there because, listen, guys, if you're not finding time on your days off, like I said, it's by choice. That's your day off. If you're not spending time with God on your day off, you're choosing to not spend time on your day off. Don't tell me you're too busy. You can't find 5 minutes on your day off. You're intentionally choosing to not find 5 minutes. All right, during the workday, 5 to 15 minutes. How many of us drive over 5 minutes to go to work or to school, right? You got audio Bible, you got sermons. Now you might say, hey, I can't remember that, or it's distracting while I'm driving. All right, and that's fair, right? I get it. Be engaged in the road. Please do not like close your eyes while you're praying, while you're driving. But let's be honest. If you listen to the radio, you're hearing that song over and over again, you know the words to that song. You might even find yourself singing along to that song at some point in time. You guys get it, right? Now, what about talk shows? Some of you might be like, I don't listen to music. I listen to sports talk radio while I'm going to work. Hey, that's great. Guarantee you, if they start talking about somebody's new head coach, you're going to be engaged and pay attention and talking to a coworker who loves the same team when you get to work, right? So you're saying it's just background noise, but when something comes out, you're engaged, you remember it, and you remember it enough to be able to talk about it. So again, no excuses. Morning commute is a great opportunity to get some Bible time in. You can read a chapter of the Bible during your work break. It doesn't take long to read one chapter. A few minutes. If you get a 10-minute work break, you got 2 minutes, read the chapter, you're already moving on. You got a half an hour, 45-minute lunch, you can easily get 5 minutes in. So there's an opportunity there while you're at work. You can pray for or with coworkers. By the time you're getting your break time, say it's at 8, say it's at noon, say it's at 2, by the time you get to your break, you already know if somebody's having a bad day at work. Trust me. right? We know if somebody's having a bad day by the time the first break comes around. Take time to pray for them. Seize that opportunity. Be intentional. It's going to make a difference. And then again, end of day commute. You drove there. You have to drive back. You have that opportunity. Listen to the Bible. Listen to a sermon. Be engaged. How about in the evening? You can read a chapter of the Bible before dinner. You get home, all of a sudden you're starting to decompress for the day. Before you eat, before you get those carbs in you and start to fall asleep, take 5 minutes, read the Bible. Before relaxing or decompressing. Okay? You get home, dinner's already going on. Again, I don't know the home schedule, but at some point in time, you're going to relax and decompress from the day. You're going to turn on a TV show. You're going to watch a movie. Again, you're going to be looking at social media or something on your phone. Before you get to that point, you can find 5 minutes. Before putting the kids to sleep, if your kids are young enough. How about praying before going to bed? You can pray with your kids at night. You can pray with your spouse. You can even lay down and start praying. I mean, if you struggle to fall asleep, I guarantee you start praying. You'll pass out faster. We can even get that in there. Does it help? Does it help? Yeah. What are you doing? You are ending your day talking to God. You are ending your day with the most important person in your life. They still going to love you if you pass out while you're talking to them? Yeah, God's still going to love you if you pass out while you're praying. But it's a great opportunity for us to seize it. If we capitalize, now catch this, guys, because I'm throwing out 5 to 15 minutes. We have 5 to 15 minutes. I guarantee you, if you guys would let me see your screen times, you got 5 to 15 minutes. If we capitalize on 5 to 15 minutes throughout the day, we would end each workday with an intentional 15 to 45 minutes spent with God Monday through Friday. How many of us right now could say, Monday through Friday, we already spend 45 minutes with God every single day? Okay, we got a few hands. We had a few hands. If you spend 15 to 45 minutes with God each workday, you are spending 45 to 225 minutes, that's 3 3/4 hours, with God per week. That is 39 to 195 hours per year. A little bit goes a long way. A little bit goes a long way. I'm not here telling you that you need to listen to hour and a half long sermons every single day. Trust me, they're out there. You can find them. I used to be one of those guys. So they're there. I'm not saying that you need to memorize entire chapters of the Bible. When we're talking about prioritizing our faith, we're talking about prioritizing our day so that we make sure that we are spending time with God, that we are being intentional and seizing those opportunities with Him, because He is the most important thing in our life. You have the time. It's there. You just need to be intentional about it. And so that's the challenge, right? The challenge is, what can you do to get an extra 15 minutes with God each day? So there's some pens on the desk. This is what I would like you guys to do. I would like you guys to write down what you're going to do to get an extra 15 minutes with God each day. For those of you who are already spending 45 minutes, hey, great. Get another 15. Get another 15. If you're already spending an hour, what would you do to get an extra 15? What are you doing, or what could you do different to get some extra time with God? All right, let's go. I'm watching a lot of guys just kind of stare at me. What are you going to do to get an extra 15 minutes? Write it down. I'm not going to have you guys like read it out or anything like that. But in all seriousness, what are you going to do to prioritize your faith? What's going to be the goal? What's going to be the challenge? You're going to try to get it in the morning. When are you going to get it? Be specific about your goal. Make sure that it can be measured. Make sure that it can be tracked. Make sure that it's not going to be something that, well, I can only do that Tuesday, right? What can you do Monday through Friday to grab that time? Because again, if you're not getting it on the weekend or on your days off, it's really because you're choosing. Now, for some of you, it was really easy, right? You're like, oh, Josh, I got this, right? That was super simple to get an extra 15 minutes. How about an extra 30? What about an extra 60? Let's be honest. Let's take it back to that relationship. Let's take it back to that first girlfriend. What would you have done to get an extra 30 minutes? What would you have done to get an extra 60? You would have tried to move heaven and earth to get that. Now ask yourself, why? Why am I not willing to do that for God? Why am I not willing to adjust my schedule? Why am I not willing to lose an extra 5 to 10 minutes of sleep? Why am I not willing to keep this turned off until I need to turn it on in the morning? Right? So if it was easy, find an extra 30 to 60. Now, you've written it down. I'd like you to share it with somebody who's going to pray for you and hold you accountable. Because it's great that you wrote it down here, right? It's like, wow, that Josh guy, he's a little crazy. He's got a lot of kids. And yeah, I'm going to be doing this every single day, Monday through Friday, me and God. It's going to be great. And then tomorrow, Sunday, you go to church. And then Monday comes around and you've already forgotten my name. You just know I have a lot of kids. And you didn't change, right? Why didn't we change? Because we didn't have anybody holding us accountable. We didn't have somebody who was going to be reaching out to us and say, hey, you told me last week that you were going to be doing X. How's that going? Man, that stuff is true. We are to be holding each other accountable in life, right? That accountability comes as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We're to be holding each other accountable in this thing. Because this is the goal right here. We start with that intention. We want it to become a behavior. We want that behavior to become a habit. We want that habit to become a practice. We want that practice to become second nature. We want that second nature to become an identity. You are a Christian. What does that mean? Basically means Christ-like one or little Christ. That is who you are. How well is your relationship with Christ? If you are to be identified in Him and be the representation of Him, how well do you know Him? So again, not about condemnation, guys. This is about encouragement. My encouragement to you is to refocus and reevaluate where you're spending your time, where you're investing that time, and to say, hey, God, what do I really need to do to surrender? What do I really need to surrender to you so that I can make sure that I'm putting you first? So that I'm getting time with you, who really is my first love. So that I'm getting time with you because, man, you're the one who transforms me. There's a lot of promises in here. There's a lot of things that God has done for us. But God's the one who transforms us. If you're not spending time with Him, but yet you expect that transformation to be happening, it's like, wait a second. That's not how this works, right? God transforms us as we're walking and spending time with Him. So, want to open it up real quick. Any questions? I've got a few minutes. I actually finished early. This worked out. My couple of these guys up here are in my Thursday night group. They're laughing at me. They're shocked. I normally go over. Any questions? Any thoughts? Comments? Josh, you're crazy. There's no way I can get 5 minutes. Yes, sir. Yeah, 100%. Did God move? No. Yeah, 100%. I love the verse. It's Galatians 5:16, and it says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not, the Greek there is oume, it's a double negative, we will not walk in the flesh. What does that mean? Is that if we're walking with God, we won't be walking in sin, right? So we're walking with God. For us to sin, we have to first walk away from God, right? And it's the same with that relationship piece. If we're walking with God, man, you are filled with the Spirit. God is active in your life. You are seeing God move in your life. If you're not, you need to ask yourself, wait, did I walk away? At some point in time, did I deviate from this? Because God desires that relationship. God desires to do amazing things in and through you. He's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. He has given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You have all of this. I have all of this. If we're not experiencing that, the question is, and should be asked, am I and God walking together? Or did I at some point in time deviate from that path? Yes, sir.
One of the things that made the biggest difference in trying to change a habit or create a pattern is, and I realized it because I was doing it to my kids, is I would shut my kids' phones off. You could have screen time protectors on your kids, and I realized, wait a second, Dad needs
a screen
time protector.
Amen.
So I have this thing set up that at 10 o'clock at night, it shuts off. And then I decided I wake up like clockwork every day at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't turn on until 6. And I associate that this is off. So you grab it. It's like, oh, yeah, I can put a code in.
Yeah.
But it shuts the world off, right? It shuts all the notifications off. It just reminds me, wait, I'm going to wake up, have that cup of coffee.
Yep.
And just have a discipline.
Exactly.
And I find if we don't shut off these things, we're just letting the world continue to attack us every day, every notification. All these things are important, right? They're all
yep.
good things.
Yep.
But they're keeping us from the best things.
Amen. Amen.
You can intentionally do that while you're sitting here right now. If you want to do it later, you can.
Yep.
But if we don't take control over these,
correct.
They're going to have control over us.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Remember, good does not equal God. There are a lot of good things. We can do a lot of good things, but it doesn't mean that we're doing what God wants us to do. Good does not equal God. So, is it good that I check my work email?
Settings.
Yeah, right?
Settings.
Yeah, he's walking you through it. Is it good that I check my work email? Well, yeah. Yeah, it's good that I check my work email. Otherwise, I might not have that job anymore. Do I need to check it every second of every day? No. In fact, when I came up here, my watch was buzzing like crazy. I kept getting these work emails. So I said, hey, Siri, don't turn off notifications. Boom, done. This thing hasn't gone off once. That was awesome. That was awesome. But in all seriousness, right? We have to be intentional about this. Guys, in all seriousness, if we don't take this and make it intentional, it will not happen. If you want to prioritize your faith, who's the person who has to do it? Can I do it for you? No. Can your wife do it? No. You have to do it. Yes, sir.
One of my students, you have to have a habit. It takes about 21 days to create a habit.
Yep.
So you start on it, everything else, and it's happened to me that several days go by and I forgot about it. But once you get into a habit,
Yep, takes about 21 days to take a habit. So you can see that's third down, right? So if you take it again, third down, second nature, you're looking at least another 21 days, right? So now you're at 42. For it to become identity, it's going to have to be longer, right? But once you have it as second nature, once you have it to the point where it's weird if you're not spending time with God, it is going to become your identity. If that's where you want to get, guys, we all start at the same spot. We all start at the same spot. If you're not doing it now, man, today's the opportunity. And I'm not saying this counts. I didn't, did I? No, I didn't. I didn't say you were already doing it. Not saying this counts. Take today as you're driving back, if you came by yourself. If not, when you get home, before dinner, like we walked through, right? Seize the opportunity. We still have today to do it. All right, let me close this in prayer. I want to be faithful to the time. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and God, we praise you and thank you, Lord, just for how amazing you are. God, we thank you, Lord, just for the work that you're doing in all of our lives here. God, we thank you, Lord, for some of us who came here just struggling, God, struggling with life, struggling with our relationship with you, struggling to be able to find time, God, and beating ourselves up over it. Lord, I pray that, God, they leave here today, Lord, understanding that, God, you desire that this isn't about beating ourselves up for mistakes that we've made or time that we've let slip by. God, that you desire us as much today as you did back then, Lord, and that it is so simple, so easy, God, to be able to set aside just a little bit of time, and that little bit of time can go such a long, long way. Lord, I pray that you encourage us all, Lord, to find more time with you in the just chaos and craziness of life. Lord, we pray this in your most precious name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you all.